Last week, on our first festival Sunday, we kicked off our Connect theme for the year with the fall emphasis on connecting with one another. And our scripture reading for that day was from John's Gospel, chapter 17, in which the Gospel writer describes the intimate connection between Jesus, God, and us. And this relationship is described as one of unity, a oneness, and a oneness with a purpose to reveal God's love to the world. In today's reading, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi, encouraging their unity. His letter is as much for the church then as it is for the church today. Hear now God's word to you this morning from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy God, empty us of anything that would get in the way of hearing your word to us this morning. And give us courage to follow the way you would lead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Paul is worried about the church. And considering he's in prison when he wrote this letter, you might think he had a lot more to worry about. But this is the reason for his writing. He cares about the Philippians. They've become friends. Friends by their shared purpose of bringing the gospel to the world. And that's why we're together too. You and I, us and each other, connected for God's purposes. But with people being human and all that that means, conflicts seem to have arisen in the church in Philippi. And in the midst of all that, they are facing persecution from those who don't follow Jesus, and according to Paul, a distorted gospel from those who say they do. Paul knows that their mission will be all the more challenging if they are not united, if they are not of one mind. They too need to be connected. Now, when Paul encourages the Philippians to be of one mind, he does not mean of one opinion or always in total agreement, so that's a relief. What Paul is asking of the church is that we be united in the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. His letter suggests that there is unity and full accord when we possess the same attitude as Christ, the mind of Christ. Well, what does that mean? We can expect that it doesn't come easily. The prophet Isaiah says that God's thoughts are not my thoughts, nor God's ways my ways. We don't come by the mind of Christ easily, even if we do know what that means. And Paul goes on to explain what he does mean by the mind of Christ, but I'm warning you, it gets harder before it gets easier. This mind of Christ is one of emptying. Jesus, says Paul, who was in the form of God, emptied himself and took the form of a slave. He humbled himself and he became obedient. This emptying is a foundational part of Christian discipleship. In fancy terms, we call it the kenotic journey, this process of self-surrender that leads to new life. It's a process that describes Jesus' own life. In fact, this passage from Philippians is typically assigned in the lectionary on Palm and Passion Sunday. It often gets overlooked for the familiar parade of palms and the passion narrative, but Paul's words provide meaning to the loss and gain that Christ experienced. God came in human form, not as God, but as a servant, to love and serve and show the way to eternal life. Our own kenotic journey is a lifelong journey of faith as we continue to let go of what's keeping us from fully living into the love God has for us in the perfect union with God and each other. But while this journey of emptying has its rewards, its purpose is not self-serving. It is not about obtaining a place next to God. Yes, Jesus was highly exalted in his obedience, but that wasn't the goal. That was never his goal. He humbled himself, not for his own interests, but to love and serve others. This is the humility Paul is urging the church in Philippi to model. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Now, we could each make a laundry list of the aspects of ourselves that we need to empty to have this mind of Christ, to be able to put others' interests first. At our best, we do work at it. As we pray that God will help us let go of our need to control, our fear of judgment and failure, our criticism of others, our doubts, our agendas. Oh gosh, the list is great. And believe me, I do have a sermon or two on that. I know because I preach it to myself every day. But as we dig deeper into this mind of Christ at this particular time in the life of the Christian church and the life of our own church, I want instead to take our thinking to a collective level. Paul is writing to the church so that they can be stronger to fulfill their purpose of spreading the gospel. And so, what does this mean for us as a church? What emptying is required of us so that we can achieve our purpose in the kingdom of God? This month, the study team for our pastor search will come together. This is the group that will help us dig deep to look forward and prayerfully discern what God is calling us to next, so that the pastor nominating committee will know what kind of pastoral leader we need for our future. If we truly open ourselves to what God will show us in this time, this discernment process will probably involve some emptying. If indeed we desire to be good stewards of this moment in our time in our church's history, To be transformed through this experience, we will be called to let go, looking not to our own interest, but as Paul urges, to the interest of others. This is the exciting work before us. Exciting when we trust in God's provision and care. Yet if this process had a warning label on it, it might read caution. Letting go may be required. In other words, we may have to empty something to make space for what God is doing. God says to Isaiah, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Often we don't, because we're hanging on to something else and can't see the new thing that is coming. I heard someone say once, "Don't miss the door that's opening before you because you're staring at the closed door behind you." Sometimes emptying means letting go of plans and agendas because our focus on them is keeping us from seeing what God has in store. This letting go could change all our questions as we discern our future. Shifting from our own interests to the interests of others calls for a radically different approach. Think about it. Instead of how can we return to what I enjoyed about church, it's how can I better hear what feeds others here. Instead of how do we support our existing programs, it's how do we let go of programs that no longer meet people's needs so we can make space for what does. Maybe instead of trying to figure out how to bring people in, it's about going out to ask what people need around us. This is the humility that Paul describes, not conforming the church to our needs, but asking how we can be the church to others. A great deal of our study during this time, and you'll have an opportunity to participate, will be to explore how the context for the church in North America has changed so significantly. Many of us don't need a scholarly book or a distinguished lecturer to know that. Church is no longer the center of society. Our sense of morality and ethics is more likely to be shaped by secular influences than religious convictions. Church on Sunday no longer drives the collective rhythms of the week. And the list of religious and spiritual options today is endless, and the institutional church is less and less the option desired. We can see the letting go happening around us. Yet really, to what degree has the mainline church emptied? To what extent are we hanging on versus letting go? If we as a church are to shift from focusing on our own interests to the interests of others, it will take some emptying. Emptying can be painful sometimes. Christ knows that pain. And we know that following Christ includes the dying part. Not death as in the end of life, but death as in the beginning of life. We are Easter people. We believe that death doesn't have the last word, but instead makes way for something new. And as we humble ourselves to follow Jesus, we find our old selves dying and God making us into something new. We are changed. The church exists for the world, not just for ourselves. We do care for one another. That's an important part of who we are, but that's not why we exist. We exist to reveal God's love to the world. And Paul is urging us to the unity in this one mind of Christ so we can be what the world needs. Which brings me back to our connect theme. I want to close with a challenge for each of us. We are in the process of building back up our connections with one another in Christ so that we are resilient for God's mission among us and for the emptying that will be a part of that. And as we focus on connecting to each other this fall, we are already discovering as we go that this also means to reconnect. Many have mentioned how meaningful last Sunday was, and those who were here very much missed those who weren't. We do feel we're getting back on our feet. The future is promising, and we want to include those who have drifted. And I want to urge you to do that. You know who is missing. You know how to reach out to them. And I believe this is our call right now to reconnect. It's easy to assume why they're not here or that they don't want to be here. It's natural to not want to offend and not want to be rejected. But Paul in this passage is saying, put those concerns aside and look to the interest of others. Sometimes all it takes is a nudge. This week, after being gone a while from the Wednesday Women's Bible Study, we were excited to have one of our members back. The group had missed Jan, like the others who hadn't been there in a while, but Jan came and she told us she was back because another member, Corrine, came by her house to say she was missed and to bring a card from the group. Jan explained that it was nothing having to do with church that kept her away. Instead, she was devoting her time to her husband who had been ill. Now that he was so much better, she said she just needed a nudge to get back to the routine. And Corrine's visit was just the nudge she needed. We can all be that nudge. We will be stronger moving into our future when we are together, together and united in one mind of Christ. It will take some emptying. But today we are reminded that Christ's kenotic journey of emptying did not diminish him, but instead revealed the fullness of who he is. And our own just might do the same. By God's grace and for God's glory, may it be so.